Falcon ends the movie saying, not Falcon, that's who he is to me.
He ain't a Falcon anymore, but he's still black.
Oh, okay.
I think that there is going to be, no matter who the character is, whether we're talking about Shuri in Black Panther 2 becoming Black Panther, or in this scenario here with Anthony Mackie's Sam Wilson becoming Captain America, there's going to be pushback to a lot of people, including myself. Steve Rogers is Captain America, not Bucky, not Sam Wilson, but Steve Rogers is Captain America. So I went into the movie with that mentality. And I have to say, guys, I didn't love it, but I thought it was a fun enough film. It really, to me, it goes back to when Marvel films were just fun. There was no politics. I felt like they had that opportunity there with Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross, and I feel like they were going to go in that direction, but from this Frankenstein of a movie, they probably took out all the parts where it was really a comparison to Trump and just gave us a movie, in my mind, at least what I interpreted and what I saw on the screen, political agenda free, no preaching at us as an audience. It was just a dumb, fun Marvel movie, and sometimes we need that. Am I off base here? What do you guys think?
I went into it psyched. Like, I didn't believe what everybody else was saying. I just wanted to see that fun Marvel movie. And I could tell the spots that were reshot. I could tell that they introduced Thug number 4 in place of the Serpent Society. What? They kept referring to the Serpents, and I'm like, oh, it's not Giancarlo. There was a whole group. You know, I had seen the McDonald's toys with Sabre in her costume and Diamondback, and they were in the movie. I saw the promo images of the leader with the big head, and then I saw that we got Krang with green skin. It wasn't Eternals or the Marvels, but it certainly was not Winter Soldier or Infinity War.
And I'll agree with that.
I went in with it like knowing how it was gonna be. My only complaint is like I'm very big on like the editing aspect. You could really tell where they reshot, like the grading was noticeable.
Right.
But I feel like it really did a very good job overall on like the storytelling of, you know, this is who I want to be, right? It did some character role significance to it, which I thought was going to be really cool. And then obviously seeing the previews of what's going to come out in the future, I could see how it's going to steamroll into a different storyline. I like the mention of the multiverse, you know.
And I'll say, as far as the design of the leader, it wasn't comic accurate. Did I hate it? No. But did I love it? No, not by a long shot. It was definitely something. I love Tim Blake Nelson. I think he's a great actor. And he did a good enough job, but I'll give you guys that it did feel very rushed. Like, I know that they reshot this movie to heck and back, for lack of a better term. There were bits and pieces. Like, I felt like I was on a roller coaster at times. Like, oh, this is happening here, and this is happening here. Okay, can you keep up with that? And then also, here's the leader, and here's this other villain. Like, it was a lot. It was a lot to process, I will say that. And it did kind of, unfortunately, feel like it was a bit of a Frankenstein movie. But once again, that didn't ruin it for me personally. I felt like it was still fun.
I took my son to it yesterday. We've been going to Marvel movies since the first Avengers came out with him. He's when he was a lot younger. So we weren't like really expecting a ton of just amazing things to happen. Just because, like you said, I'm a Steve Rogers. Like he's Captain America to me. I did like the fact that there were some times he was kind of compared to Steve Rogers. Like, hey, you're no Steve Rogers. So there's kind of like this, maybe for people who are on our side that are like, yeah, we kind of agree with that, but it's a chance for him to establish himself as the possible visual of Captain America. So I thought it was good. I run a video production studio as well, and so I'm big into color grading and editing. I can agree. I think that was probably the only part that took me out of it was like just some of the really bad like CGI or green screen. It just kind of took me out of it. Like the part where they're at the end and where Thaddeus Ross is in the cell and it's got the bars, like that was like the worst green screen bars I've ever seen. It was like so obvious. I'm like, dude, just like just put real bars in front of it. It's like everything looked good, but it was like the shots like that. Like there's not a lot I was trying to complain about or be overly negative. I tried to go in with a really optimistic view on it, but there were just some things that I'm like, man, the Red Hulk looked so good. And I'm like, but the CGI on the bars that overlap the main character's face just kind of took me out of it. But overall, I mean, like you said, I think it was a great, it was a good summer movie. It was fun. I feel like this movie let Sam Wilson establish himself a little more as Captain America. It pointed out things like he doesn't have the serum. You know, there's just things that kind of the obvious comparisons between Sam Wilson and Steve Rogers. So I think that it kind of gave him a chance to stand out as maybe a different version of it that I was okay to.
I enjoyed that they poked fun at the fact that he has not received the serum. And you brought up Red Hulk. Our good friend, me and Jared's good friend, Tim from Nerd Champs, thought that the CGI for Red Hulk looked atrocious. And I could not disagree more. I know it's a low bar what we've had post-Endgame, but this looked better than anything that we've had since Endgame. And, you know, She-Hulk didn't look – well, I guess it did look pretty rough in a lot of episodes. I'm a She-Hulk apologist, okay? The CGI was very bad. And what we got from the – was it Daredevil? No, it was the end of She-Hulk, but Daredevil was there, and the Hulk's son pops in. That looked bad, too. I was very happy with what we got here with Red Hulk. I know that this movie was originally supposed to come out probably last year, but they cut it to pieces – and probably had a lot more time to work on those special effects.
I thought it looked good. They really made the Hulk's face look like you could tell that was Harrison Ford. Like, yes. You know, it was like in past versions, it's like, okay, is that, you couldn't tell, is that Mark Ruffalo? But me and my son both, he's almost 16 and he likes to dissect movies too. And he was like, bro, the Red Hulk scenes were on point. I thought the CGI was really good. And it was good to see one, you know, like smash and cut loose and rage. So I enjoyed that. That's probably my best part.
When I wanted to see more of Red Hulk, I think that was really disappointing for me because he was so much cooler than Sidewinder. He was so much cooler, really, than anybody, even Falcon. I mean, Captain America, sorry. He'll always be Falcon to me. But yeah. Red Hulk, you know, let's have an appearance at the beginning and let's build his story. Let's see him fight. Is he going to be a one and done now that he's in the jail and Harrison Ford is 98 years old? I don't know. But I really could have done with a lot more Red Hulk in this movie.
Yeah, that was a big problem. If we're going to recast Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross, I love Harrison Ford, and he did an excellent job in this movie. But he's up there, man. He's at least – he's pushing 80, I think.
One of my favorite scenes, I think a lot of people too, as you're looking that up from the first Avengers, is when Mark Ruffalo turns around and he's like, I'm always angry, and it shows him turn into the Hulk. When I thought when they went from the Red Hulk to Thaddeus Ross, 82 – it was like they didn't show him, and it was kind of like, oh, that was a cheap way to like not show him go back. But when he was standing up there, I thought, oh, he looked 100 years old. Like when he went back and had the shorts on, I was like, bro, Harrison Ford is always the GOAT. But when he was like skeleton,
I mean, he's as old as Joe Biden. Like they're the same person, basically.
A lot more cognitive ability there, though, for sure. He looks great for his age. But once again, we're recasting, you know, William Hurt, who was phenomenal, by the way, as Thunderbolt Ross, especially in that first Hulk film. And let's talk about that a little bit. Speaking of the first Hulk film, in a lot of ways, this kind of felt like a sequel to that. And that's something else that I appreciated about this film as an MCU nerd, not necessarily a book nerd, but an MCU nerd. I really appreciate how a lot of those loose ends that were left open, even from The Incredible Hulk, when the stuff poured onto the leader's head, you know, and he was just sitting there smiling. I enjoyed how a lot of those loose ends somewhat got wrapped up.
Yeah, it was good to see Betty show up, even though it was only for like 5 seconds. I still want to know what happened between her and Bruce. What happened? Was it Black Widow? Was it because that skank got on here and was like, sun, you know, come in the morning or the sun is going down or whatever? Like, did Betty see him doing that? And was like, no, I don't think so. And she was out. You know, what was the deal? But I always enjoyed that movie. I know I'm on the minority with that, but I love that. I mean, that. Point me to a better fight scene in the MCU than Abomination versus Hulk.
Especially Hulk action. That was Hulk action.
Yeah, it was great. So then to see the leader come back, to bring it back in with Thunderbolt Ross, had the leader caged up and had been using him and manipulating him from behind the... Like, that was a chef's kiss because so much of the rest of the movie sucked. But that was really, really good.
Yeah, I like how it felt like a sequel. Like you're saying, my son was like, this kind of feels like a Hulk sequel because there's so much backstory between the antagonists, and I enjoyed the whole pills. And I think that the overall story and direction of it was, like you were saying, of him being played behind the scenes, I enjoyed it too. I like that there were a lot of connections to The Incredible Hulk, which I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, I wasn't either. Yeah, I was I kind of came into an open mind, a little ignorant, you know, to a lot of things. And I kind of figured it out, you know, that there was a lot of foreshadowing for it. But I do feel like with the foreshadowing, I really didn't like how the pills investigation went, you know. It was like kind of a big deal, and then it was just pushed, it was swept under a rug. So that could have been so much cooler, you know, because there's like, it was like at the beginning of the movie and towards the middle of the movie, it was like foreshadowing the pills, right? It did an emphasis on the pills, and then kind of like how that came to an abrupt stop and like died, you know, how the situation happened, you know, of him silencing that one dude. You figure usually in these movies, you know, the person with the information gets leaked, right? And they talk to him that way. But regardless, it was pretty good, yeah.
And let me ask you this. I might be wrong, Frank, but are you like a mega MCU nerd? I know you're like a nerd. I mean, you love Fortnite, you love other stuff, but are you one of those people that have seen every MCU film? Because I'm really interested to see what the opinion of someone who is not as tied to the MCU and the Marvel Universe as maybe some of us are, like, what would that impression be of, you know, someone who's not, like, let's say someone who's seen 12 MCU films. What would they think about this movie? Would this just be a jumbled up mess to them?
So I've seen almost every MCU movie. For me, it's just like when it comes to like making sure I watch all the MCU stuff, it's like come making sure I watch all my favorite anime. You know, I want to, even if they're bad, I'll suffer through it. So I've seen them all, but I'm not studied. So I wouldn't say I'm a mega MCU nerd. I watch all of it. You know, I've seen all the movies. Me and my wife like watching just movies in general, and we always prioritize some Marvel movies, but not really the TV shows. As somebody who hasn't really been super invested in that, I feel like this was a very good movie. It did the whole storytelling aspect of it. Some parts did seem very rushed. Some parts did seem very cheap. For Christina, my wife, who was watching it with me, she was confused a little bit with some of the tie-ins, right? Because there was a lot of innuendos. And as someone that knows Marvel, I can kind of put those innuendos together. Kind of like how Falcon in this movie was kind of like rushed and brought in and brought out, you know, and they got hurt. She was like, what the hell is going on with that? And I had to explain it to her, you know. And then when he started getting mad, you know, even she caught on that. I was like, oh, wait, is this another Hulk? And I'm like, well, yeah, that's the whole reason of Gamma, you know. And she's like, oh, so he's poisoning him. I was like, all right, yeah. So it was very good. And then it had the emotional, really good emotional abrupt ending at the end that you know you need in every good movie. You know, you could either have like a storytelling end or an abrupt emotional end, and it had that. As a film enjoyer, it did a pretty good job. I would say, I think even she rated it like a 7.5, you know, out of 10.
I will say the weakest thing to me in this movie was the conclusion. It felt very unsatisfying because I was really like, they had me hooked, and I was on the edge of my seat. I was like, What's the Hulk going to do now? He's got him beat. Is he going to kill Sam Wilson? And then all of a sudden, Sam was just able to get up and say, basically, hey, big guy, the sun's getting real low.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, that was, to me, the weakest part about the film was the conclusion. The fight scene was great leading up to that. Yeah. But then at the very end, it was just kind of conveniently. And we, as comic book movie nerds, we understand that these films are going to take a lot of liberties. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Sam being a human and landing at G4 speed onto the ground and causing this shockwave. I'm okay with that. I'm actually willing to accept that. But what I'm not willing to accept is this ending being so conveniently wrapped up and tied in a bow. Sorry. It's just a bit much.
Yeah, well, I mean, Chris brought up the point that he said, I don't have the serum. You could have fooled me. Like, everything you did.
Yeah.
Everything you did, you got stabbed twice and you were just like, I'm good. He got stabbed. He was flying around the Eternal statue like he had superpowers. He was getting punched like he had superpowers. Well, I've got Wakandan wings. Give me a break, dude. This was not a human versus a Hulk at all. This was someone that had serum fighting a Hulk and just was able to figure it out and outsmart him and throw some Archangel blades at him. I was like, is Archangel in this movie? Because he's throwing stuff in his stomach. I'm looking for the X-Men, because I'd be a lot more entertained if they showed up at the end.
I felt like it would have been more impactful if, like, maybe Betty would have showed up instead of Sam, you know, at the point where they're talking about the flower trees. And I was confused about that, too. Like, I'm like, okay, Hulk Thaddeus Ross just took on a face full of machine gun fire from a Black Hawk. And then whatever type of knife or wings he has, I'm like, dude, I didn't realize that could cut his skin. I was like, my son was like, wait a minute. I don't.
So it was vibranium. There was some vibranium. Yeah, there was. Yes, it can pierce Hulk's skin.
There we go. Okay. So I'm willing to admit too, I'm a pretty big MCU fan, but there are a few movies I didn't see. So going back to your question on like how other people felt, I worked with some guys. I work on the tugboats, and some guys went and saw it this weekend, and their reaction was kind of like ours. Like it was a general summer blockbuster movie. Like it wasn't terrible, wasn't bad, but it was just entertaining. And so I didn't never watched The Eternals. I know it's horrible. I always had it on my list, but I never watched it. So I was expecting to like, I didn't know that the Celestial Island was going to be there. I've heard some online feedback of like, they brought it up in The Eternals, but then never talked about it ever again. I watched the first episode of She-Hulk and I was like, nope, turning it off. So I need to go back and watch those. So as someone who like, once Endgame hit and like WandaVision came out and Loki, like after those big hits, I kind of started like, not because we're all busy. Like I don't have the time to watch like a ton of mediocre stuff. So I feel like maybe people, to answer your question, Jonathan, like there may be some people who don't watch every movie religiously, but you know, as long as they see the main characters on screen, they seem to be okay with it. The guys I worked with.
I'm a huge fan of the MCU, and that's the narrative that I hear from anyone who's casual, which let's be honest, we are a very small bubble right here on this YouTube channel right now. 98% of the people that are going to watch this movie, maybe possibly, are casual fans. And the narrative that you hear from casual fans all the time, oh, after Endgame, I was done. That's what you hear from everyone that you talk to that's a casual fan. And I hope that with Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four coming out soon, that narrative starts to change. And I think this movie, dare I say, is a good first step in the right direction. Not a great step, but a decent step in the right direction. It's fun enough. Is it better than Winter Soldier? No. Is it better than the first Thor? Maybe.
No.
Maybe. I'm just saying, I think there's a possibility that, you know, I could totally hear that argument. Maybe even I think that way. Some of those beginning origin films, I can see the argument for this film being a little bit better than those films, but films are subjective and we all have our own opinions. I am notorious for being very high on these films when they first come out. I'll admit right now, when Eternals first came out, I gave it an 8. I regret that so much now.
You know, say it again, John. Like say it one more time. Say it again so everybody hears it.
When the Eternals first came out, I gave it an 8 because I was really excited about everything. I mean, the newness of it, it was a completely new experience for the MCU. But then I tried to go back and watch it again, and I was like, this is pretty boring. This is kind of long. Was this really an 8? So once again, I'm very optimistic and high on these movies. I want them all to be good, no matter how much crap talk I get on Instagram and TikTok about people saying that I'm a hater and this and that. I want all these movies to be good because at the end of the day, if any comic book movie succeeds, whether it's DC or Marvel, all comic book movies to general audiences look better. Yeah. That's why when I see these terrible Sony films come out, and that might have a lot to do with it, I just got through watching Venom 3 and Kraven. So after watching those two movies, I was pretty excited about this movie.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with better than Thor 1, but yeah. But it's an opinion.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that kind of took me out was some of the dialogue delivery. Like I feel like they didn't give the audience a lot of time. I'm big on storytelling. Like I love, you know, the story's got to come first. And there was this sound, it felt like they were almost at that point, but like they got to the Camp Echo One or wherever the prison is, and like as soon as you walk in, you can see it's a lab. And I felt like in this movie the actors would deliver lines that were so obvious as soon as we see it. Like as soon as they walk in, he's like, why is there a lab in this prison? And it's like, we just saw that. Or as soon as we hear the leader's voice, you're the buyer. So it was like, there were some times where it's like, I felt if they would have left some of that dialogue out, it would have left a little more to the imagination of, okay, why? Like it didn't let us ask that question. It was like, they forcefully made the audience kind of ask that. And I just can't get over the bars and the CGI and on the rap. It was so bad. My son was like, Dad, I could do better than this. I was like, I know. It was so distracting. Like, it took me out of that moment, which I hated because I wanted to be in that moment. You know, I wanted to enjoy that final moment. But, you know, just a lot of the background CGIs, like obviously this movie didn't take place in DC, but there's just, it's like the backdrops were bad. Some of the fight scenes were kind of, I consider myself a really big MCU fan. I hate to say that I did kind of drop off after Endgame, but, and it was entertaining. You know, I think people who will enjoy seeing a new face, the Secret Service woman, I can't think of her name. She kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Yes. Let's talk about her for a second.
Can I hit Chris's spot real quick about dialogue? I told my wife the same thing. It felt very high school musical or play. Like, this is my cue. I say this and you go right into yours. Like, they were waiting for the next one. It didn't flow. Like, there weren't a lot of conversations that sounded like they made sense. It was, I said my line, get ready, you're up next, say your line.
Yes.
And it just, and it pulls you out. I mean, you've got that rough reshoot, like, especially at the end. The battle, and Hulk and Falcon are doing their thing. But whenever they pan to Falcon, you can tell he's on a soundstage. They're not outside filming. And then when they widen, they're back and the lighting looks the same. Coupled with those terrible beats trying to have to conversate with each other, I think that really kind of brought the whole movie down for me, like a point or two, because it just seemed so robotic and stick to the script. And it pulled me out.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Sabra, my bad.
No, well, let's talk a little bit about that very odd-looking woman that was probably 5'2".
Yeah.
And she just had an odd-shaped-looking head. They were obviously going for a Black Widow in, you know, the Winter Soldier-type vibe with her. It was a lot less believable when she was head-scissoring people versus Scarlett Johansson.
I was like, I'm not trying to body shame anybody, but it's just physically it was distracting. I couldn't tell. At times I felt like she didn't have a neck or like I couldn't tell what was going on. And I was like, maybe they're trying to, you know, just be super inclusive. But it was distracting as all get out. And like she looked 3 feet shorter than everybody. And she reminded me of the principal from Kindergarten Cop with
Cop.
Dude, you know, when she's like, she's talking to Arnold Schwarzenegger, that old principal, like that's what she looked like. I was like, bro, I was like this. Every time she came on screen, I was like, this is it. And but I didn't really catch, I can't even remember her name, Ruth. Okay, yeah, she was all in the movie and then I couldn't tell which side she was playing. And I feel like that character in the film could have been a little more impactful if it was maybe written a little better. I think it was an interesting take. You know, they're like, she's from Israel. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know if that has to do with anything, but if she had without a different physical appearance, maybe I could have maybe believed that she was a Black Widow previously, you know?
Yeah. Better casting, I think, is what needs to be done here. I don't know if they were just casting her for that reason. Like, oh, if you're 5'1" and have a weird shaped head, you can be a Black Widow too. I don't know what they were going for with that, but yeah, it definitely fell flat. Jared, real quick in 30 seconds or less, explain to us what that character is in the comments. Is that Captain Israeli or who is she?
Yeah, her name is Sabra. She's fought the Hulk and she's been allied with the X-Men in the past. She doesn't have a ton of appearances and she had a bigger part originally. She had a costume, the whole thing. She gets a code name and then things kind of jumped off on October 7th between the Palestinians and the Israelis. In real life. And so Marvel has got a lot of pushback. And so that was a huge part of the reshoots with this movie was bringing her role down and all the kind of things. I would love to have seen what she originally was going to be.
Oh,
I wondered if that had anything to do with the conflict because the fact they mentioned she was from Israel, which is fine. Like I said, I don't, you know, I'm not playing the political side. But when I saw that, I was like, I wonder if it felt a little weird because of the conflict overseas. So I appreciate you explaining that because I didn't know that's kind of happening in the film.
That makes sense why a lot of her situations in the film were very jump cutty. She's like, you suck. And next thing you know, it's like, oh, I believe you. Oh, stand down. I'm fighting with you.
It was their cue to say something, Frank.
It's almost like her lines came in short supply.
Definitely. Oh, I see what you did there. I like that. Boom. Okay, guys, so if you had to give this movie a rating on a scale from 0 to 10, 0 being horrible, unwatchable, I never want to see it again, and 10 being perfect, where would you put it? We'll start with you, Mr. Jared.
Well, we got a 4. We got a very solid 4. I disliked a lot more than I did like. We didn't even talk about New Falcon and how terrible he was. He was just the worst. Absolutely the worst.
Yep.
He got all the terrible High School Musical lines. And he didn't execute them at all. I was excited when he got injured because I just wanted him to get off the screen. He was very, very annoying. And then Falcon ends the movie saying, not Falcon, that's who he is to me.
He ain't a Falcon anymore, but he's still black.
Oh, okay.
Captain America says, hey, I'm getting the Avengers together and you're going to be on the team. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, it's going to be terrible. But no, this is definitely a four. I think at the bottom, we got like Eternals, the Marvels, Thor 4. Those are kind of my really, really terrible. And this one is probably a lot closer. I just don't need to rewatch this one. Yeah. There's never going to be a Saturday where I'm like, I've got 31 Marvel movies to choose from. Cap 4 is what I'm going to put on. It's way down there.
Hmm. What you think, Frank?
For me, it's like a 6.5. I probably would never rewatch it ever again in my life either. And I do agree, though, that with his comment as well about New Falcon is like, there's very little people that won't shut up that are actually that good with computers. So it's just not a thing. You know, like there's no way he's hacking into somebody with a mouth like that from High School Musical, like he said. I do feel like he added like a little bit of pizzazz to the movie, though. And I feel like if it was written better and executed better, it could have been helped with the little development of the storyline. Yeah, but for me, it's a 6.5.
I think that's fair. What you got, Chris?
Yeah, I'd say 5, 5.5. That's one of my first things I said to my son. I was like, I don't think I'll ever rewatch this. This wasn't the worst movie, but it was like, I have so many more things I could do. And it's hard because I want to give props and, you know, show respect to the people who worked on this film. And, you know, there's a lot of people that do a lot of things in this industry, and it's hard to come out and just be like, I just hated this movie, even if I did. So it's like, sometimes I try to find the better in them. And yeah, I'd say probably a 5. Yeah, it was just cheesy, man. It felt like it was rushed, a lot of missed opportunities, and it was just the whole dialogue of the film. And I think they did a good job to where if you didn't watch a lot of other movies, it was simple enough to where it's like, okay, this is the new Captain America. This is the issue. But my biggest takeaway, man, is I just wanted more Red Hulk. I'm like, dude, I thought he was going to show up in like the first hour of the movie. And like, I thought this was going to be a whole movie against, from how it's advertised and marketed, it seems like Sam Wilson versus Red Hulk. And it's like, but I didn't catch any of that. So I think that if there was, you know, obviously with reshoots and stuff, but I don't know. I'd give it a 5.
Well, I will say that this is better than The Eternals, which over the years has went down on my list to roughly about a 5, I think somewhere 5, 5.5. I don't hate it quite as much as Jared. In my fours, I have a list in my phone, by the way, where I rank every single comic book movie. I try not to have too many 10s and too many 8s. You know, I try to spread it out pretty evenly. And we're talking about a total of 125 films, right? If I look at my 4s, that's where I have movies like Superman Returns, Captain Marvel, movies like Blade Trinity at a 3.5, right? This movie is way better than that to me. That's why I have it currently at a 7. There were a lot of flaws with this film, and more than likely within a year's time, it'll drop on my list a bit, but I don't think it's going to have nearly as much of a drop as The Eternals or even something like The Marvels. It's better than The Marvels. It's better than a lot of the MCU projects that we've gotten post Endgame. It's definitely better than a lot of the shows too. So right now I have it at a 7. I think it's a fun movie. I would personally watch it again. I did find Joaquin Torres to be very annoying, almost as annoying as Darcy in Thor 2. He was obviously a character that was there for comic relief. The only problem was his jokes weren't funny at all. That's where I have it right now. Like I said, it might fall in the next year or so for me personally, but I liked it. Guys, why don't you tell us where we can find you on your other social medias? I know everyone here that's joining us today has other social media ventures.
Yeah, you can check out The M6P. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, podcast. Just do a search in your Google search bar for The M6P and you will find us.
Very big following on Facebook. Very
cool stuff. We broke 12,000 last week.
And something that's not easy to do these days, by the way. Mr. Franken, where can we find you on your socials?
I'm pretty much W. Franken on everything. I have 3 different YouTube channels. Probably 3 different TikToks. It should be pretty easy to find me. I think I have a combined following of around 1.2 million.
Very impressive. Mr. Stafford, how about you, sir?
I run a video company, Stafford Studios, and that's really, you know, my Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. I do have a personal Instagram, Chris Stafford, but I also have a business one as well. Yep, you can find me on there. I think I have like 200 YouTube followers. It's great. It's awesome. But I just want to give a huge shout out, man. All y'all's backgrounds and office space, everything looks super cool. And one day I aspire to have like a backdrop like you guys, man. Y'all are killing it.
We got to get you a green screen with the jail bars. That's what
you're doing. Yes! Yeah. Dude. Yeah. Like that. Dude, it's
bravo.
So just bad. Put a chroma key on that bad boy.
Well, guys, thank you so much for watching today. You can find us on TikTok and Instagram at Real Comic Book Cinema. You can also find us on Facebook. Thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, have a good one.